Systems, Ken Nichols of Lindebrock Auto, Antennas West, and Wallpaper World. Our phone number is 241-1510. That's 241-1510 or 1-800-293-KFNN, 293-5366. Please give us a call if you have a club or activity announcement you want to pass along, or you want to buy or sell some radio equipment, or just want to ask a question. Next week, we'll have Dan Hoyas from Dan Satellite Systems on. We'll talk about all the new programming that's available with satellite television, scrambling, and even the new ham radio shows that are on satellite television, as well as what satellite TV is, what you need to get into it, and the cost factor. On September 8th, we'll have Bernie Sasak, the Arizona ARRL manager. And the week after, we'll have Neil Sheldon and George Hands discussing RFI problems and their solutions. The following week is the Cactus Keys, and then the Southwest Division Convention will be discussed here. Remember, the Southwest Division Convention will take place at the Safari Resort in Scottsdale on October 11th, 12th, and 13th. And don't miss it. And remember, on the Saturday, they're going to have a special youth forum. So you definitely should make plans of being there. You don't want to miss it. And I was just informed that Al Gross, W8PAL, who was a guest on my show a few weeks past, he's the father of what I would call Citizens Band Radio and personal use radio, inventing the first walkie-talkie back in 1934-35. He'll be a featured speaker, and he'll show his collection of his walkie-talkies and more at the Scottsdale Southwest Division Convention. So don't miss it. Again, our phone number is 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366. My guests today are Dan Meredith, N7MRP, a local SISOP node manager, and general all-around do-it-aller. And everybody knows that. And Morgan Hoagland, WW7B, who's an active ham, SISOP of the WPHX node, and also SISOP of the American Red Cross, BBS, and a volunteer examiner for W5YI. Before we get into anything major here, Dan also has an announcement or two that he'd like to pass along.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that many folks in the Northern Land have been wanting to know all about the Arizona Rim node that I've been working on. And so I will say at this point, the Arizona Rim node N7MRP-4 is on the Mogollon Rim at 7,200 feet MSL. It is operational at this present time on 145010. The coverage area goes from anywhere from Heber, Snowflake, Sholo, Joseph City, Flag, and of course the Verde Valley and over to the Dewey node. We don't have much of a path to Albuquerque at this time, so we're working on that. We tried real hard, but couldn't get into Albuquerque, but we're still providing a user service. So we have now linked in the users from those areas back down into the Valley of the Sun, finally, since we lost the sound node. So that is operational. It's on 145.01, and it's called AZRIM. My other announcement is a local ham recently contacted me this past week, WG7K. His name is John, and the N7MRP BBS will soon be a frequency server for amateur radio and some public service for around the state of Arizona. I look for instructions on how to use that server, as we'll get into that later on in the program, but look for instructions on how to use that so we'll have a database on frequencies around the state, so that's coming soon. All I have.
Sounds pretty good. And Morgan, you had a few announcements.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me back this week. I'd like to announce something maybe some of you forgot about, or refresh your memory if you didn't know in the first place. The Central Arizona chapter of the American Red Cross has an emergency bulletin board service on 145.05 Simplex. The call is W7IO, W7 Indian Ocean, can be reached on 145.05. And Dan runs a lot of the software for us, and I co-SISOP that. We call it emergency board, but it also provides a lot of common information dissemination there. We'd like you to check into it. If you're interested in getting further involved with the Red Cross, you can leave us some notes there and so forth. And the board's growing all the time. Thanks to Dan, we're getting some neat features there. And right at the cutting edge of emergency software preparedness, I guess you could say, and a lot of that doesn't come easy. So we also thank Roy A4E, who's the developer and the original writer of that software. So we'd like to see some activity into that board, whether we're in a hurricane or not. Hi, hi.
Hopefully not. A couple other QSTs to pass along. The Ham Awareness Day festivities for the Superstition Amateur Radio Club will be held on September the 22nd, and that's the annual Ham Awareness Day, and that will be held for the Superstition Amateur Radio Club, again, on September the 22nd at the VF Factory Outlet, and that's at Power Road just south of the expressway, Superstition Expressway there, and everybody's invited to attend. Also, the Superstition Amateur Radio Club yearly Ham Fest will be held the last Saturday of November, at the PM Rodeo Grounds, of course, in, I think it's Apache Junction. And if you want more information, give Jim Edwards a call. He'll be happy to answer your questions or direct you to who can answer your question. And his number is 983-0800. So either if you have any questions about the Ham Awareness Day, you want to get involved in it, or want more information, or the Ham Fest, call Jim Edwards, 983-0800. And let's see, I have a phone call here. Okay, Larry, how are you doing today? Welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Oh, pretty good. Hi, Lynn, and I would like to announce that the Superstition Amateur Radio Club has also got a novice and technician class scheduled to begin on October 1st. We'll be running every Tuesday and Thursday through November 14th, and our class will cover the novice license, the no-code tech license, and the full technician license with HF or high frequency privileges.
Okay, and who should they contact to get involved?
Okay, they can call me, Larry Cook, WB7CRK, at 986-2298.
That's 986-2298?
Right.
Okay. Anything else?
Well, I think that's about it. I had a note here about the our Amateur Awareness Day, but you just covered that for me here. Very nice style.
Okay. Well, actually, I had Jim Edwards let me in on that, so that was prepared me for it. But, Larry, thank you for calling, and hopefully if people are interested in taking some classes, they'll give you a call, 986-2298.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, Larry. Bye-bye. Okay. Also, we, of course, had internationally some events that occurred over the last week, and, of course, that was in the USSR, and it was interesting that Channel 3, or did you say Channel 3 did television?
Yeah, they've called just about anything that happens that has anything to do with ham radio.
Okay, and that there was a special about the ham radio operators?
Yeah, it was on ABC News. Okay. They had a real neat, it was about 5 minutes. They were talking about the hams that many saw on the top building where Boris Yeltsin was. It was real interesting what they were saying.
And also, if I'm not mistaken, Gorbachev said that when he was sequestered or whatever in his prison, so to speak, he was found out about the news of everything that was happening based on shortwave radio. So that's kind of interesting. And in light of that, Morgan, you had an experience this week with a Russian.
Yeah, I am active in pursuing contacts with Mir Soviet Space Station, and I after the news got better for the USSR, I tuned in and was able to contact Mir once again, U5MIR on voice, and it's always exciting for me, and I congratulated him on his stability on the ground. He was probably quite worried up there, and
yeah, how would he get back?
You know, will the supplies keep coming in? I don't know, you know. But anyway, did get a successful one, and he said thank you, and we left it at that. So they're very short contacts, but it was a nice thing to happen in the morning.
You going to get a QSL card from him?
Well, he won't be back for a while. they take time going back to U2MIR. They are just now receiving QSL cards from about 2 years ago. But the fact is they have started to come in for those folks, so it can happen for you.
Well, notice how us ham radio operators get involved with the world things that occur. Okay, again, our number 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366. Before we get into the heavy technical knowledge of packet radio, which we're going to be discussing today. Everybody hopefully did as I suggested last week and made a, I know I did, I have it right here, a list of the parameters that are on your TNCs, and we'll go through that in a couple of minutes. But I'd like to take a moment to ask everyone to think about how many miles does your car or truck have on it? Is it still fun to drive? Does it have all the features you really want in a vehicle? Or is it really time to think about making a change to a newer, more efficient car? One that has all the options you really want. One that doesn't need repairing constantly. I know nothing's worse than going into the car, turning the key, and it doesn't start. So that's worth a lot of money just to have a car that you can rely on. One that is extremely enjoyable to drive and operate. Well, if the idea is even in the back of your mind remotely, now is the best time to make a change, and the person to call, Ken Nichols, WA7HXZ, who's the fleet manager of Linda Brock Auto Mall. And that's located at 6601 East McDowell Road in Scottsdale. Linda Brock Auto carries Dodge, Oldsmobile, BMW, and Volkswagen, all in stock, ready to go. They have an extensive service department for all makes of vehicles. I know I've taken my car there, my van there, and had them fix it, and they did a good job at low, low prices. And remember, if you mention Ham Radio More, you say 15% off of their already low price on all service and parts. But the best part of Linda Brock Auto is, of course, Ken Nichols. When you call Ken personally, he'll either quote you a price over the phone for the vehicle you want, or you can come down and test drive it. But when you deal with Ken, you get much, much more. Ken treats you as if you were a fleet buyer with the absolute lowest prices available today, and not just on the cars in stock. His lowest prices include all makes, all models from all manufacturers. For those hard-to-find models, he'll get those too. Just call Ken with the vehicle of your choice equipped as you want it, and he'll give you a no-hassle, no-pressure, lowest price possible quote. And Ken takes trades, and Ken has financing, and Ken also has resale cars available. So, whether you need a new or used car, give Ken a call. Remember, when you deal with Ken, you really do get personal service that will surprise you because it is so good. Total, unlimited selection, and of course the lowest, and I mean the absolute lowest prices available anywhere. People all over the country do buy direct, and I mean direct, from Ken Nichols. People in Michigan, Texas, Washington, and all over do it because Ken gets them the car they want at a price nobody but nobody can come close to. So why not join the others and save also? Call Ken Nichols today at 228-2336. That's 228-2336. Ken Nichols, fleet prices every day, direct to you. By the way, Ken also has 1992 prices available on Oldsmobiles, Volkswagens, and Dodges. So if you're interested in a 92 now, give Ken a call. 228-2336. Okay. Last week we discussed what packet is, what's needed to get on packet, etc. Now let's run down the parameters. Who wants to start?
Okay, well, I assume we're going to talk about the parameters that can make us have a terrible time if we don't get them right.
Yeah, then we want to. Obviously, there's about, 100 different parameters or more, maybe 150. We probably want to discuss 35 or 40 of the most important ones.
Okay.
You might want to just briefly tell us what it does. I mean, in 3 words or less.
Oh, yeah, we can get lost. We can get lost in these. There's no doubt about it. So I'd like to discuss the ones that are most likely to keep you off the air, or therefore the most likely to keep you happy if you have them set right. The first one I'm going to talk about is a hardware consideration. That does come down to some parameters that can affect it, and that's the transmit to receive recovery. Each radio has a certain amount of time that it takes to recover after transmitting. If it's listening quick enough, it will receive packets and acknowledgments from other stations. If it's not, then it means you're going to miss part of that packet. A lot of the newer radios that are phase lock loop, it takes quite a bit of time to they're actually the slower ones. Sometimes your vintage radios from, say, 78 to maybe 85 are some of the better ones. They're a little quicker turnaround time. So I might mention that your people that are running packet stations with you can have a little longer TX delay or a little bit of response time increase, and that will help you out with this situation. Along those lines, I'd like to talk about TX delay. That's probably the second or number one worst set parameter. Because for one thing, the default is usually around 30 milliseconds. The TX delay almost always needs to be longer than the default. So we are looking at probably running it at 45 milliseconds. That's about those are the two biggies right there as they affect how quickly your transmitter keys up, and there's a little bit of a start tone that starts there. That 45 milliseconds I mentioned is how much of the start tone is in there, and then hopefully how much gets out over the air after it takes a certain amount of time to accentuate that transmitter.
Okay, so TX delay 45.
Right. Let's see. We could talk about some of the newer types of systems have what they call slot time, and they also have a persist. This is a little bit different configuration from what we call a D-weight, but we'll mention those all together. First, let me take a D-weight. Your D-weight is how long your transmitter waits before it begins on a frequency. If there's somebody already on that frequency and your DCD, your data carrier detect, has indicated that, you'll wait a specified amount of time before transmitting. A lot of people have their D-weight at zero, which means they don't wait anything, and anybody else that's not waiting any amount of time, they'll collide. And of course, that's our buzzword today is collisions. We want to try to keep people from colliding, and it makes everybody happier. So we're talking about, right at the moment, channel utilization and sharing a channel. So I'd like to, you know, suggest that you raise your D-weight if that is the type of parameter you have with a PK-232. The CAM is another that has those. Most of your MFJs are also that. And then if you have something like a DRSI card, it will use this persist slot time. The default on that is usually quite good. I believe it's the persist is 64, and the slot time is 100.
So what do you recommend for D-weight?
I would say about anywhere between 10 and 16 is good. One of the tricks about a D-weight is to not pick what your other friends have, because if you wait the same amount of time, then you both transmit at the same time on that channel. So actually picking a slightly odd D-weight can actually be the best for everybody.
Okay. All right. What about, let's see if we can just start and go with just a few different other things. I don't know, like, I guess those are the main ones, huh?
Well, then you can get into FRAC.
Okay, FRAC.
FRAC is a good one. That's a frame acknowledgement timing space there. It's when somebody sends you a frame of some sort of data, it's the amount of time that you're going to wait to send back an acknowledgement to that frame. A lot of TNCs will default to about 3, and Morgan and I were discussing how that is a little bit too quick. I find as being running a BBS and talking to the other BBSs and trying to let users get in there, a good point would be around 5 or 6. That's what I find to be a real good setting for a FRAC. It sets it back a little bit ways. It allows somebody else to get some traffic through before I say, okay, hey, I got it. So that's essentially what a frame acknowledgement is.
What's M speed that I see on my thing?
Obviously, it's a PK-232.
No, MFJ.
No? Really?
1278. It's right after M stamp. And I have M speed.
Oh, this is Stump the Gurus, I think.
Yeah. Ah.
Do you have a 1278?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
that's
I do.
Where
Well, while the gurus look this up, our phone number is 241-1510, 241-1510, or 1-800-293-5366, and we'll be happy to entertain you guys' questions. The gurus are stumped here.
Yeah, I hear the phones ringing. Gee, I hope we have an answer. I noticed the PK-232 has it, and they have it as 20 for a parameter here. This is not a default. This is something that a friend of mine did set in there, but I've never heard of M-Speed at all.
I'm sorry, it's here. I didn't make it up. I mean,
well, we're hoping we get questions about ones where people have run into trouble.
Okay, how about MaxFrame, and we'll go back to M-Speed.
Oh, that's a really good one that I have really had some troubles with lately. You are going to find MaxFrame comes into play critical, especially on HF. That's the maximum amount of frames that you're going to transmit at one time. A lot of people default to three, of a max frame of three, and everybody seems to have that as a common. But a really good suggestion when paths are not good, especially on HF, say 10 meters, you want a max frame of one. That way you can be darn sure that the frame is sent out there, and with conditions going up and down, it will try to send that frame again. Rather than send three and lose one of the frames, then it has to reject that whole series, and it has to send it all over again. So HF, you want to use a max frame of one. Now, for people using like the digitizer on 145.11 here in Phoenix, or using a repeater, mm-hmm. you can go all the way up to even seven. I would not suggest it if it's a heavily utilized frequency, because somewhere right along in there you're going to lose one or two of those frames, and it's going to reject it and have to send that whole series again. But I find to be about three is good, unless you have a bad path, on 145.05, you're talking simplex way across town. You may want to drop it down to two to be sure to at least get those two frames over there before somebody else is not hearing you transmits and wipes you out.
Okay, what about pack time? Another one? I got these guys. Gurus, come on, gurus.
I was hoping you were going to say Paclin.
Paclin, okay. I know, though.
Goes along with just what Dan was saying. I'd like to say a word about that. Not only is it important how many frames we send out at one time, but how much data is in each one of those frames. And for HF, I'd like to see about 30 or 40. That works out really good. And another thing is, if you are having trouble getting through, there's a lot of ways to make this a little bit more lenient and fight its way through. And a Paclin's a very good way to do that. On HF, like 30 or 40, maybe on VHF, I'd like to see it under 200. 255, a lot of times, the default, and that's way too much. And you're wasting quite a bit of valuable time.
And one note, if you're going through a node, it takes up 20 characters of node identification stuff that when nodes are talking to each other. So if you're on WPHX talking to your friend on Mount Lemmon going through the Lemmon node, if you have a long Paclin, set it to 236. That way that entire set of series of characters, whatever you have in there for data, when it hits the node will utilize that extra 20 that you've left free for it. That way it doesn't have to break it up. It will send it in one full transmission.
Okay, let's see. We have a phone call. We have Abram, KB7RXK. Welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Pretty good, Abram. How are you doing?
Fine.
Okay, what can we do for you?
Okay, my question is this. I would like to get my technician license.
Okay.
And I would like to know, do I have to, what places can I go in Mesa?
In Mesa,
yeah.
Do you have an answer for that, Morgan?
Well, I think Larry just gave you the information there.
But you want to take the test, or you want to get a class?
Take the test.
I don't know in Mesa who.
Probably the Scottsdale.
Is it still required on the test?
Well, yes, you have to take the test. Now, of course, there's an exam given the first Saturday of every month in the Phoenix area. That's at DeVry on 23rd Avenue and Dunlap. However, the second Saturday, I think it's the 14th or 15th. You have to look at a calendar. I don't have one in front of me. But the second Saturday of September, the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club will be holding a test, and you're certainly welcome to go there.
They don't have it in Mesa.
Well, if somebody knows of a test, VE testing in the Mesa area, by all means give us a call at 241-1510, but I don't know of one offhand. I mean, Scottsdale isn't that far away.
Yeah, that's a problem because I'm blind and I don't have no way of going those places. I'm in Mesa, I couldn't, with thyroid and stuff.
Well, if you'd like, what I can do for you is I'll put you back on hold, and I'll have our engineer take your phone number, and possibly I can get a hold of somebody who might be willing to, to Elmer you over to help you over to one of the tests. How would that be?
Okay.
Okay, so hold on, and let me put you on hold and give the engineer your phone number.
Okay, I love your program.
Thank you very much for calling.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay. Give us, I mean, this probably people know, but I just want to take to turn off of parameters for 1 second. Name some of the bulletin boards that are available locally and the frequencies they're on that people can just go to. And are there any HF bulletin boards that we can connect to?
Gee, I don't, yeah, I'm on HF.
Well, yeah, but...
Yeah, I'll let Morgan address the HF part there because he fools around with some of that there. Yeah, BBS is, let's see, well, of course, there's myself, N7MRP, don't put any dashes behind it, where I am available on 145110 minus, that's the digitizer in Central Phoenix. I'm also available on 145050 simplex, 223560 simplex, and also coming soon to 440, and on 28.190 lower sideband at 1200 baud. And we have K7BUC, he's on 145.11. You have KB7TV, which serves Phoenix and Tucson. It's on 145.11 in Phoenix, 145.15 Mount Lemmon, Tucson. You also have N7GLL. He serves the northern parts of Arizona and also Tucson on 145.15. That is minus 600, 145.05 simplex, and 145.01 simplex. Don't forget W7IO on 145.05, which does happen to have some bulletins here and there.
And let's not forget W7US, is it? The packet cluster.
N7US.
The packet cluster on 144.93. And that's a very unusual...
I believe it's also available through DX2 on 145.09. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Let's take a phone call, and then after the phone call, I want to go into the packet cluster if you have a little knowledge about it, because that is in itself a whole different environment. So, okay, Ralph, N7TPI, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Thank you. I was curious if anyone's looked into that poor man's TNC that was advertised in 73 magazine, the August issue, I believe.
Go ahead. Morgan has an answer for you.
Yeah, I haven't looked entirely into that, but I do have some friends at Intel Corporation that have studied it pretty good. One problem I see with it, and I guess I'm going to probably don't recommend too much endeavor in it, is it doesn't have the DC data carrier detect built into it, at least in the article in 73. Although it looks like it would be a lot of fun to experiment with a bit there, and it did seem a bit primitive to me. I think it will come up a little short of your expectations.
Yeah, I also have a comment. In fact, last night I found out a friend in Winslow happened to have starting working on one of those there, and he's run into the same problem, and we start talking about the DCD, and he's running into a few problems here and there, and also with a few other ways that it's set up. I wasn't too clear, but he sure was griping.
Yeah, you know, it appeared to me someone could set up, in the at least for FM use, could set up a carrier-operated relay, and that might be a quick, easy way to get a DCD type of... It actually isn't DCD, though, at that point, but at least that'd be something that you wouldn't be... smashing into everybody with.
Yeah, that'll keep you from transmitting on simplex if it's hearing a signal somewhere.
Okay, does that answer your question, or you want some more information? I don't know if they have any.
Well, I guess it's a good idea. It's just not fully developed yet, so I'll have to stand by and see how it works out.
Oh, yeah, it's a really good idea, and it's a real quick, fast way to get on there, but the DCD is very important, especially in the Phoenix area.
Are you into packet now, or...?
No, I'm looking at it. I just got my license, and... trying to find other things to pursue with my handy talkie, and packet looked like a pretty good idea.
Well, I can tell you that I've been on packet since about October, November of last year, enjoy it a lot. So I encourage you to go in the direction of getting something to get on the radio.
Okay, well, thank you for the answer.
Okay, Ralph, thanks for listening.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Okay, it's about back to school time, and also time to start thinking about, of course, nothing else except redecorating your home.
It's simply amazing what a fresh coat of paint or new wallpaper or a mini blind can do for you. And a mini blind for as little as $9.95. You can buy a custom-made aluminum mini blind in a choice of colors. Just changing to some mini blinds or vertical blinds or taking down your old draperies, that'll change the entire feeling of your entire home. It'll make the house look modern, more contemporary, more spacious. Do a wall with wallpaper. It can change the entire mood of a room. It can be done quite inexpensively. And, of course, the place to go is Wallpaper World. With six great discount showrooms in the Valley, Wallpaper World has more selection than anybody else. Plus, they own the window covering factory. That's right, they manufacture their own vertical blinds, mini blinds, pleated shades, and even custom wood shutters. Yes, Dan, those mini blinds are from Wallpaper World. You even can get free measuring and free installation on your custom window coverings purchase. And Wallpaper World guarantees the lowest prices on wallpaper every day. Wallpaper World guarantees to beat any and all prices on any wallpaper from any wallpaper book sold in America. That's a guarantee that's impossible to beat. Wallpaper World has the selection, the service, and the lowest prices, which has made them the place to go for all your decorating needs. Wallpaper World, 272-4788 for the location nearest you. And remember, mention Ham Radio and More and receive an extra 10% off anything you buy from Wallpaper World. That could be a really great added saving. So Wallpaper World, where selecting decorating items is an enjoyable experience. Six locations in the Valley or 272-4788 for the location nearest you. Let's talk about the packet cluster. It's mainly a DX. It's called the DX packet cluster. It's run by the DX. Well, it's, I can't remember. What's the gentleman's name? You know, do you know N7? I forget his name.
Jim McDonald.
Jim. Okay. And but a member of the DX Club, and let's talk a little about the packet cluster.
Go ahead, Morgan. We'll let you start off.
Okay. There. Well, the first thing I want to say about the packet DX cluster is it is probably very near my most favorite application of packet radio. So a lot of things we do with packet radio that aren't near as worthwhile as this. Since we're so much in the developing stages of, you know, we have the hardware, but what do we do with it? And the cluster, I think, puts a lot of things to good use. As Len mentioned the frequencies earlier, once you check into this board, you can get lots of information as to what was the last 5DX spottings, for instance. This cluster, one thing about this cluster, too, is once you're checked in, you can stay checked in. And you will get various promptings as to the spottings in real-time mode. And that's kind of exciting for those of you that are into DX. It's not like having one radio and one set of ears. It's like having maybe as many as 30, 40 sets of ears all out there spotting for good, rare DX. We were talking out in the lobby with Lynn here, too, and the season is about us as far as fall DX season goes, too, and the bands are getting better. So got a lot of reports last night from N5AQM, a friend of mine named Mike, about the DX coming over the pole. And he was doing a lot of that through AmpTor. And that's another thing we might mention, too. These DX spottings could be for AmpTor, RTTY, Voice, CW, Packet. I might even be leaving something out.
Even so. Voice FM.
Yeah. So there's a lot of worthwhile things that could be done there. You can also get the rise and set times of another country or a DX heading. All you have to do is put the DX prefix in there, and it'll come back and say, oh, this is so-and-so. And
or you can be listening or being on a different frequency even, and your computer beeps.
Absolutely. If you've got a...
That's right. Your computer beeps. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Morgan, explain it.
Yeah, you can be off in the other room making dinner or whatever. Your computer beeps. You run in there and see what the posting was. So
a rare DX sighting.
They do a pretty good job, too. Most of the folks on there don't put on the average VK there. So I hope I don't get a call from the Southern Hemisphere about this, but there's usually enough VKs around.
I almost forgot. You guys have a trivia question. Now, again, our number is 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366, and we now have a trivia question. And this trivia question involves packet, and Who wants to ask it?
I hear the phone's already ringing, but
you might
I haven't even said the question
You
yet.
Might hang up on this.
This is in regards to the BBS software that you're seeing when you connect to a BBS. What type of software is what we're going to be talking about here? The question is, name three out of the five most popular BBS programs that are in use today. And this does not include TCP/IP. And I'll just give you one hint. I happen to use one of these versions on my system here. So once again, name three out of the five most popular BBS programs that are in use by BBSs across the country today.
Well, we'll expect some BBS SISOP calling in with the information. But right now, the lines are quiet. 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366. We have a little different prize than we've normally given away, so for the winner. Okay. Let's get into simple thing for a person who just is beginning in packet. Okay, we want to connect to the N7 MRP bulletin board. You've heard of that one, right, Dan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now...
Gee, it's run by now, some kid.
Now, I've heard that before. Now, once they connect to you, and they've never connected before, what should a person do?
Okay, well, first of all, of course, get connected. Pick whatever frequency and get connected there. Once you get connected, wait for it to come on, give you a sign-on message. The average person has never connected before. It'll say, welcome to the blah, blah, blah mailbox. Read the instructions, please. That will keep you out of having problems with it and getting lost. And also, the first thing you want to do when you get connected is read the instructions, of course, and first thing it asks you to do is to register, become a user. That way you can play with all the commands and do all kinds of wild things. It is quite restricted if you don't register.
And how do you register?
To register, simply type register, or you can type N, as in November, and hit a return. But the best way to do it is just type register. It will ask you what your first name is, put that in there. Then it goes on to ask you zip code, +4 if you know it. That's becoming used now with NTS traffic. That really helps us, too, in case of an emergency, of distributing traffic various ways. It's just now coming into real play. Also, it'll ask you for your home BBS. And now with one of the versions that I'm using, I won't say it because I almost did. That's one of the part of the trivia there. Anyways, it will start asking you how many what screen line to pause on and how wide your screen is. So you definitely want to follow all the instructions. And on my BBS, it'll ask you if you want your prompts in English or Spanish. I do offer Spanish on my board. Also, just a special plug for the W7IO BBS. It is also in English and Spanish. So if we have an emergency, it's the best way to go there.
Okay. Okay, so now we've got this guy, and he just connected with you, and he registered. He did the whole shtick, and he's a registered person.
Yep.
He needs to also, more than register, he needs to say who he wants to have as his home BBS.
Yes.
Now, that's something we didn't discuss. I mean, I know what it is, but why don't you explain
what exactly is a home BBS? That is, your home BBS is the spot in which you're going to regularly check into your mail, where you want your mail set. The best thing to do is pick the one that you find to be most reliable for your area. You know, has good coverage. Up, it's not up and down all the time. It's not gonna, it's not a fly-by-night situation. And that's where you're going to have all your friends across the country send you mail. Now, if you choose, a home different BBS on everybody here in town, what happens is if you specify somebody else as my home BBS, I'm going to ship it to that guy, and then he's going to say, no, that's not the home BBS. So he ships it to another guy, and it goes around in circles in the valley, and we've had that happen several times.
Yes, I read about somebody trying to get a hold of one person.
Yeah, we won't get
that.
Into who did that, but Len and everybody, a lot of people in PAG know about that. But anyways, essentially, pick one BBS. When you connect to another BBS, register, say so-and-so is your home BBS. That way, when mail comes in from wherever it may be across the United States, it will go right to that BBS, and the next time you connect, it's going to say, you have mail waiting, and it will tell you how to look for your mail, too.
And I love the mail system, sincerely. At Packet Users, I'm just really happy I really want to give a word of thank you to all the SISOPs out there, even you, Dan, that do take the time to manage their bulletin boards, because, sincerely, it's a service. It's a free service, obviously, to ham radio operators. And I send messages to friends of mine back east all the time, and it has gotten there as fast as in 7 hours, which I was kind of shocked.
I'm keeping up with a guy in Europe over Microset. I have certain messages going across the country that are going over to Europe on the Microset, and I send that to a particular BBS with instructions to ship it over Microset, and it gets there in a matter of a day, and that's to Europe. A lot quicker than that's a lot quicker than you would normally expect through the U.S. mail, which can take up to 14 to 20 days. Also, what we're doing is telephone forwarding is becoming a great big thing, you know, where we ship out of our own pocket to call back east and give mail back east so they'll distribute it. So,
well, I thank you guys for doing it. Meanwhile, we have a winner. So let's get a winner online. Hello, Doug?
Yeah.
Doug Heller, KE7NF. This is Ham Radio Moore. How you doing?
Okay, and you?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you.
Good.
You're a packet user?
Oh, yeah.
Hi. Okay. And you connect to Dan's bulletin board?
I use Dell's BUC.
Aha. So do I, you know, but, you know. But anyway, what are the three, or did you give me more? To give us more than three?
I just gave you three. Okay. RLI, MBL, and AA4R East.
That's
you bet. And I'll name them off all here. We have AA4RE. WA7MBL, then you have MSIS, then you have the CBBS, and, of course, of W0RLI. So that's what's out there.
Okay, well, Doug, what you've won today is a gift certificate for Wallpaper World, from Wallpaper World, for $15.
Okay.
So I don't know if you need some wallpaper or some window coverings or some fabric or something. They sell lots of different things, and we'll get a gift certificate out to you for $15, and I thank you very much for participating.
Thank you much.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, Bob, you have something you want to sell. Welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Is this, are you talking to me now?
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Len. I'm awaiting my call. I was just got passed a technician, a new class there.
Congratulations.
Third, GE World Monitor Shortwave Radio, model 7290, digital frequency. I'm willing to let go for $185.
Okay.
And regulated power supply, 12-volt, 4-amp, for $35.
Okay.
And let's see, the last one is called a Super Antenna Amplifier, 3001 model, 100 megahertz to 1 gertz, 0 to 20 dB adjustable gain. That'll probably do it.
Okay. Do you have a price on that item?
I'll let it go for $20.
Okay. And you want to give us your phone number, please?
242.
Okay.
2259.
242-2259.
Right, and I appreciate, you know, the opportunity.
Well, I appreciate you calling, and I congratulate you on becoming a ham. Welcome to the fraternity. Join a club. Get involved.
Right, and just about one of those many out here still waiting on the FCC, but they'll get it when they can. After 40 years of listening on the bands, I think it was about time for me to do something.
Well, see, it's so easy to get a license now, especially with the no code, that we encourage as many people as possible to get one. And I appreciate
it. Gives me the opportunity then to upgrade, which is also nice.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I appreciate you listening and calling in.
Thank
and
you.
Hopefully you'll sell something. Okay, Bob. Bye-bye. Okay. I have an Echosphere 8000 satellite system with which I am able to watch two different HBO feeds. I'm able to watch two movie channel feeds, two Showtime feeds, two Cinemax feeds, two Disney feeds, my kids love that, two USA feeds, and over 100 other channels. If you like sports, news, movies, or special features, if you like watching television, satellite TV is for you. And EchoStar has the best products available today. From the EchoStar 410 to the 510 to the top of the line 710, which has high fidelity stereo, audio scan, automatic C-band and KU-band tuning, video seek, built-in to scrambler, and so, so much more. You'll love all the EchoStar features. And when you buy a Dan's Satellite Systems, you'll like it even better because the service and the price is second to none. Dan has been in the same location since 1985. I challenge you to go looking at in the satellite TV community and finding how many companies that are in that business have been there since 1985 in the same location or are still in business. He's knowledgeable in all aspects of satellite television. He even repairs and services any make of satellite television equipment. And when you call Dan, he'll come to your home or business personally and give you a free site survey selecting the best place to put your dish. And Dan has got a deal for you now that he's not given anywhere else. Now, let me tell you, normally, when you buy the EchoStar 410 with 10-foot dish and everything else that you need, you'll pay about $2,000 plus installation. Now, Dan's offering this total package at $1,799, and this week, sincerely, he's not done this before, and he runs a lot of ads, but this week, if you mention Ham Radio and More, he'll include total installation free, which is a value of about $400. So that's right, for $1,799 complete, including installation, you have to mention Ham Radio and More, Dan will do this entire package for you. He promotes on other radio stations and in newspaper ads, but the only way you can get free installation is if you mention Ham Radio and More. So give Dan a call. He has 100% financing, and you can own your own system with programming for about $40 a month or less. I mean, that's about the same price as you pay for cable now, or it might even be less than you pay for cable now, depending on what programming you have. So give Dan a call, 233-1515, 233-1515, or stop in at 5070 West Bethany Home Road, where 51st Avenue, Grand Avenue, and Bethany Home meet. That's Dan's Satellite Systems, 233-1515. You'll be happy you called him, and he'll be our guest next week, and we'll talk about satellite television. And let me tell you, this is a deal because I was watching I was in there about a week and a half ago, and he sold a system there, and he charged the same system. He charged $17.99 and $200 for installation, and the customer bought it. So that was $19.99 right there. And so you're saving because he was running a 50% off installation special, and that's what he's running right now. But free installation if you mention Ham Radio and More. Ben, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What can we do for you?
Well, I have finally decided after waiting about 20 years that I'm going to get my license. And I actually learned how to dots and the dashes, if you will, and when I was in the Army. And so what I'm looking for right now is a sending key so I can brush up on what I once knew how to do pretty well. And so I'm hoping someone out there might have an old just straight sending key like the J38 that they might want to sell. They could give me a call. I just bought used a little interface for a Commodore 64 for encoding and decoding on CW. Unfortunately, I didn't get any documentation with it, and so I'm hoping someone. I think the brand name is SWL. A friend of mine is looking at it, so I don't have it in front of me right now. Someone else out there has had this one, and they might be able to give me share a couple words of wisdom. And there's also, there might be some of your listeners that would be interested in a Radio Ham's special interest group. Our computer club has at least one or two members, and if I do it, then we now have a SIG of three. So maybe if anyone out there might be able to give some technical advice, that's something that might be a possibility.
Okay, and give us your phone number.
954-8783. And incidentally, any one who might join our computer club, we have our special, end of the monsoon season offer in that we will, especially if someone is into radio but feels really uneasy about computers and all that, myself or one of the members of our computer club would gladly come out and help him set up his system and get it going. If he doesn't have to join the club, but we'd like to give him a pitch on it,
Okay, so your number is 954-8783. Anybody wants to get in touch with you about the computer club or has a key for you that you want, give Ben a call, 954-8783. Okay. Okay, Ben, I thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Okay, 73s. Okay, now we're where are we going on this? Okay, we registered. We talked about the our having it as our mailbox, right?
That's right.
Okay, we discussed that. Okay, you know, just real fast. You're a node. How do we connect to a node, and what information can we get from a node?
Okay, very good. I'll explain one of the more common applications of a node, and that's to get from one place to another. You may not have the RF range, as it were, so you can connect to a mountaintop node and then go any place that it has the capability to. That may be another station directly from the mountain, or it may be another node. Let me give you an exact example. If you're on 14505 Simplex, you may connect to WPHX. That is the alias or the call that you can use at that moment, WPHX, as short for West Phoenix. And that's on White Tanks Mountain, so as long as you've got some line of sight to White Tanks, you're all set. Then you could use that board, that node, to connect to Dan's board. You could go C space 1 space N7MRP, or you could also connect to the W7IO bulletin board that way, C space 1 space W7IO. This particular type of node is called a BPQ node. Other nodes, you are a little bit not quite as smart, but they work just as well. And you can go, I might let Dan take that.
Yeah, the best thing to do, just a real quick comment there, if you're wanting to know what's available on a node, type a question mark and hit a return. It will say invalid command to you, but it will give you a commands list. It will say connect, CQ. It will tell you what's available there. And if you want info, like GAPPQ, it will give you a listing of what you can do and where it's at. And some of the NetROM stuff doesn't go into exactly what all is available and where it's at, but it's like a quick help command. But the best thing to do is type a question mark, hit a return. That will get you in there.
Before I forget, you guys want to give me a phone number or give out a phone number that if people do have some questions and they want to get some answers, or what would you suggest that they could do, you know, after today?
Okay, well, you can call me Monday through Friday at normal business hours at 481-9559. I can be reached there. Just ask for Morgan. And I have helped a lot of people unpack it. Right now, as a lot of people know, there is no governmenting packet association in the Phoenix area that's really running to any strength. So we like to field what questions we can, and Dan and I are still interested in the technology, and we want to help people all we can.
Yeah, I'll just give out a quick couple frequencies on voice that I listen to. I listen to the Northlink system, and also if you can catch a lot of packet gurus on Simplex on 147.405, if you need help at all, so give one of us a call if you hear us.
Okay, Bob, KT7QJ, you have an answer to what my question from earlier in the show?
That's your question on M-speed.
Okay, what is M-speed? Because the gurus are writing this down.
Well, it's very obscure, and I had to look it up in my MFJ manual, and this is the setting that controls the speed of CW sent by the MFJ 1278.
No wonder we didn't know it.
Yeah, they don't appear to be CW users in my studio today.
Yeah, we're not multi-mode.
Not multi-mode. Did they mention the K7NO node?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was a good point on that one. For the people that like the DX cluster, if you can hit K7NO, that's running. They swap mail back and forth, same spotting. So I forgot about that. Good reminder.
That's the one I usually get into down here in Chandler, because I can't get up into the other one too easily.
Okay, okay, Bob. Well, I appreciate you calling and helping us out there, because we didn't know the answer, and neither did the gurus, you know. So thanks for calling, Bob.
I've got to help them out, and otherwise they'll be on 147.405.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay, 73. Okay, do you want to work DX consistently without a tower, without an amplifier? A QRV DX half square may be the key for you. In fact, you may even find yourself working DX that you never even heard before. And although it doesn't require great height and it's unobtrusive, it's a whole antenna with full-size results. If you're in a problem location like many of us are, it's easy to conceal, but the DX can't hide from it. Also, Because of the way it's built, it's so easy to install that some people actually have put it up in less than 10 minutes. The half square has been tested in all sorts of terrain under all sorts of conditions, from a high-rise apartment, from a balcony of a second-story apartment, from a third-story office in a commercial building with acres of fluorescent lights around it, across a parking lot in the middle of the night, from rock outcroppings on a treeless desert island, in fact, in a northwest rainforest in a swamp in the Rhine River lowlands. Now, let me tell you, if it can work in all those places, it'll certainly work at your house. It even works and hides hidden under the eaves in a picky neighborhood or in a snoopy motel, and it works in all these places and more, and it's the best DX bang you'll ever get for the buck. And according to Jim Stevens, KK7C of Antennas West, the QRV DX half square is the fastest, most adaptable DX antenna you'll ever see. So give Jim Stevens at Antennas West a call first thing tomorrow morning and order one. Got nothing to lose. I think he has a money-back guarantee on it. Mention Ham Radio and More and get an extra discount off of his normal low prices. He has a half square for all single bands, 40 through 10, including the work bands. So give him a call, 1-800-926-7373, 1-800-926-7373. Remember to mention Ham Radio and More for your extra discount, 1-800-926-7373. Well, I see we're not going to get to 95% of the questions that I had here in this hour that I think they cheated us and only gave us 26 minutes out of this hour. But
there's a lot more we could really go into.
There's been a lot of controversy about Packet. Not about Packet, but in Packet. I mean, I see messages all the time from happy, from sad, from all these weird places, political messages, etc. Packet radio, to my understanding, correct me when I'm wrong here, is the same as regular amateur radio. We are governed by the same rules. And the rules don't say you have to talk about the type of antenna you're using or the type of radio you're using. You can discuss normal everyday things, can't you?
Oh yeah, yeah. You can go into just about any subject on there.
I mean, there was something in today's packets or whatever about a recipe for cooking something or other.
Yeah, that's
beef
that's
jerky. Usually,
yeah,
or
that's
something.
Usually contained under the happy subtitle there. It's usually all kinds of various things they have on there. Sounds like we're running out of time.
Okay. Well, and we didn't even get into AMTOR or RIDI, which are just different forms of digital communications.
Or how to list messages on BBSs.
How to list messages on BBSs. That's right. Don't push the L and get a list of 500 of them. We also didn't discuss many, many, many other things. So the future of Packet and what's next. And video Packet, which, where pictures are going back and forth and all kinds of interesting stuff. But we'll have you guys back again in the future, and you got to brush up on M-Stamp. So I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank my sponsors, Antennas West, and Dan Satellite TV and Wallpaper World. And we'll see you next week. We'll have Dan Satellite Systems next week. And this is Len Winkler, KB7LPW, and we're clear to next week, 73s.